In the wake of political pressure from both sides of the aisle, before even heading into budget negotiations with the legislature, Governor Kathy Hochul scrapped her budget proposal to regulate and promote off-the-books accessory dwelling units, which you might think of as a spare living space in an attic, basement, or garage. While the governor has not returned to this hot potato, Assemblymember Harvey Epstein is hoping to accomplish some state changes that will force at least some localities to legalize this potentially controversial form of housing. And the Manhattan Democrat joins us in the studio at the Capitol to discuss the issue. Welcome back to the show, Assemblymember.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, can you give us a reminder of how these, I guess, illegal dwelling units in some cases might spring up and what it is that makes them quote-unquote illegal in the areas where they are illegal?
So lots of examples of these units are, you have a brownstone, and it's a single-family brownstone, and you've been living there, and you're like, well, my kids are going to move downstairs, or my parents are going to move upstairs. So you create a new kitchen or an extra bathroom, and then generations go, and your kids move out, and you have this unit, so you're like, oh, I might as well rent it. Mm-hmm. And it's a good source of income, especially for a senior. But you didn't do all the paperwork necessary to legalize it. Or maybe you're living in an area that doesn't allow a two-unit home in that area or a three-unit home. So people are doing this work because, you know, one is because they need it or two because they have economic needs for it. And the legal system that we have doesn't allow it for a lot of a whole host of reasons. Maybe there's not a good second means of egress. Maybe the egress right. is only into the house instead of to the outside. Maybe the ceiling height is, 7.5 feet, not 8 feet. Maybe there's a half kitchen, not a full kitchen, or a half bath, not a full bath. So all these things can be easily solved with, one, with resources, money, and two, with government oversight.
And in addition to the interest that a homeowner might have in this, you yourself have talked about how this can be a critical source of housing for the people who end up in those properties. Because when you were like in law school or growing up or something, had this experience going through one of these?
Yeah, while I was in law school, I lived in an accessory dwelling unit myself. And it was an affordable place for me to live while I was in law school. Mm-hmm. It was a really important thing for me to be able to have a place to live that was affordable. I didn't know it was not legal. I didn't know anything about it. Now, as an adult who understands the law, it's very different. But it was a source of housing. We see tens, if not hundreds of thousands of units across our city and state that have these basement units or cellar units. And what we've said to the city, and the mayor said this multiple times, give us the authority we need to figure out a process to legalize it. In the budget, the five-year capital plan, we put $85 million statewide into accessory dwelling units. The city could have access to some of these resources with a legalization of basement and cellar bill. And the city wants it. The city council wants it. And we think it's a really important piece of a narrow issue. We know that 11 New Yorkers died last year and living in illegal basements. Let's give the city the power to protect those New Yorkers so we can make sure those units can be legalized going forward.
Yeah, I want to talk about the legislation that you're pushing with the final 6 days that are left on the legislative calendar, your bill dealing with basement and cellar dwelling units. But before we do, I want to think about what we heard from the governor on this issue earlier in the year with regards to legalizing the stock, not just in New York City, but throughout the entire state, and even creating a pathway to make more legal basement, attic, and garage apartments in the future. What did you think of that proposal? Was that, comprehensive enough? Did it create enough of a pathway for you? Was that a bill that you could have gotten behind if it had, come before you?
Yeah, so that was a bill with 85% the same of what the mm-hmm. bill that Senator Harkin and I had introduced. It was something that we both supported, and we thought that it would help literally bring hundreds of thousands of units online for New York. And we have an affordable housing crisis in many parts of our state where we're not keeping up with the demand. This could help us keep up with the demand. It would be one, an environmentally friendly way to do it because there's not the additional cost to do new units. Two, it would be affordable. Instead of building a unit, especially an affordable unit, cost $500,000 in New York City. This would be under $100,000 for almost all the upgrades necessary to create an ADU. And three, it wouldn't expand the footprint of buildings in New York City or New York State. So a lot of wins that we could have had. But, lots of things get in the way and lots of people had concerns around it. and the governor decided to pull it from the budget. But I still think there's a real pathway to talk about not just basements to sellers, but a comprehensive plan statewide for affordable housing.
While she pulled the policy language, did the $85 million that she had proposed for implementation end up making it into the budget?
Yes, it's part of the five-year housing plan, so there's still $85 million for municipalities that have an accessory dwelling unit or a basements and cellar plan in their municipality, and lots do all over the state. So they have access to money, and what we're saying is New York City should have access to that money as well.
So right now, does New York City not have access to that money as the way the appropriation language is written in the budget?
Right now, New York City doesn't because they don't have the ability to create a legalization plan for basements and cellars. This would free up money that could go to New York City. You know, obviously the money can go anywhere around the state, but as a person who represents part of New York City, I want the money to come to New York City to help New Yorkers.
And is that what your new legislation dealing with basement and attic dwellings would accomplish? Did that essentially pave the way for New York City to tap into these funds? Or could New York City, with its city council and mayor, simply enact legislation that would enable them to access these funds?
So our bill would just allow them to create a plan if they wanted to. It wouldn't mandate.
So they need that authority from the state?
Yes.
Okay.
So they need authority right now, especially around the multiple dwelling law.
Old MDW.
They have limitations in the city over what they can do around housing policy. Mm-hmm. So we need to give them more authority around parking, multiple dwelling law, other rights that, you know, this is going to be a safe plan. I assume that Mayor Adams, and I believe that Mayor Adams would create a plan that he supports that would be safe and affordable and comprehensive, along with the fire department and every other city agency. And they just need us to give them the power to do it.
And have other members in the city's delegation expressed a willingness to go for this, and is it a vast majority of them, or is this an issue where there's division amongst the lawmakers who represent the five boroughs?
I'd say a substantial majority. I don't remember right now. There's 20-something co-sponsors on the bill, and so almost all those are exclusively in New York City. We have a vast majority of support in the city delegation. Of course, there are going to be members who don't support it, but in any bill that passes, and especially anything that's a little controversial, there's going to be disagreement. But I think this is good policy. This is something the mayor wants. This is something the city council wants. This is something that the governor thought would be helpful because the governor supports it as well, because she's put that in her budget initially. So what we need to do over the next 6 days is get enough momentum in the Senate and the Assembly to get it out of committee and get it to the floor.
And in terms of how this money would be utilized, is it essentially to beef up, like, I don't know, code enforcement units, or is it to actually invest in work on these properties so if there are certain code issues, they can be addressed and made safe for the future?
I think it's three things. One is to invest in the properties themselves to say, hey, you need a sprinkler. You need to widen that door. You need to make sure that that bathroom has a full bath. So we need to spend some amount of money fixing up that unit. The second thing you might need is, hey, we need more enforcement. So we need money to go to the municipality to ensure that they can enforce any of these basement and cellars that are there. Third, the money can go to any additional necessities that the municipality has besides staff enforcement to ensure that they have a comprehensive package around basement and cellars or other units.
And so it sounds like the big difference between maybe what the governor had proposed and what you're proposing is that the governor's plan would essentially, in some cases, overrule what local governments had already set up for zoning, whereas you're essentially saying to the city, if you want this authority moving forward, you can tweak your local laws to pave the way for either the creation of this housing or to take the existing stock and make them essentially legal, bring them out of the shadows.
This is what we heard in that discussion in January and February was local control. We want to hear about local control. Mm-hmm. This isn't exactly a local control bill. It's giving the authority to the city that they're requesting, the mayor's been asking for months, so they can create their own basement and cellar ordinance along with the city council and city council oversight to ensure they can decide what plan works best for New York City.
One of the people who opposed the governor's plan was Assemblyman Ken Zabrowski, one of your Democratic colleagues from Rockland County. And we had him on in the spring to talk about this issue. And one of the things I asked him about was, are there circumstances where, you know, what might work in Rockland might be different from what might work in New York City? And if we're going to approach this from the city's perspective, would you be okay with essentially signing off to let them do whatever they want? And so we talked about what state lawmakers from the city think about this proposal. What are you hearing from members outside of New York City? Are they saying, sure, whatever you want to do in the city, go nuts? Or are they maybe concerned about a slippery slope? And if New York City begins to act on ADUs, maybe it'll come for Rockland County next, Orange County next, God forbid, Westchester County.
I think what I've heard from everyone is says if the city wants it, the city should have it. And outside city members are saying, hey, if you city folks want to do it, then we support it. No one from outside the city saying, I haven't heard this slippery slope argument at all. I've heard, hey, this is local control. That's what we asked for. And if the city wants it, then we should defer to our city colleagues to see if it happens.
And do you think the biggest impact of this will be on the existing housing that Yes. already exists as opposed to the creation of new housing?
So this bill is only about existing Mm-hmm. housing. So for a unit that's already there that needs to be upgraded to be legal, those are the units we're really impacting.
Well, then what would happen if, let's say, this becomes law and the city paves the way for regulations and the utilizing this money, but there are some people who, for whatever reason, for good or ill, decide, I'm just going to keep this off the books. Maybe it's less of a hassle, or maybe they just don't know what's available to them. How would those housing situations be treated in the future? Would there be some sort of repercussions for them, or would they just essentially be allowed to operate off the books?
Well, that's going to be the city's decision to make. I mean, right now there's a $10,000 fine for having an illegal unit. The person who lives in the illegal unit can be evicted right away by the fire department or department of buildings. There are real consequences to doing that today. I would just say the city has to decide what they want to do going forward, and I think the city's first and foremost concern is health and safety of the residents.
And just turning back to that $85 million, because that's really only accessible if a municipality wants to do something about accessory dwelling units, is it possible that that money could end up going unspent if no one actually ends up taking the state up on it?
Well, that's always a possibility that money in the budget doesn't get spent if it doesn't to the people who have access to it, don't want to choose to do what it's tailored to. But that happens all the time. There's money for, you know, hotel conversions. We mm-hmm. called that Honda. The first year out, we didn't have any money spent on it. So we put more money in it this year and trying to expand the authority on it. But I'm hopeful, hopeful around hotel conversions, that we can get, you know, the money spent, because people have talked about the importance of this, and so many municipalities across the state have ordinances in place that they'll want to have access to money that they don't otherwise have.
Well, we've been speaking with Assemblymember Harvey Epstein. He is a Manhattan Democrat. Assemblymember, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
And if you want to get more great Capital Press Room content, including past discussions about accessory dwelling units, visit capitalpressroom.org. or wherever you download your favorite podcasts. Support for the Capital Press Room is provided by New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals in education, human services, and healthcare.
Join us again for Capital Press Room, a production of WCNY Connected, Syracuse.